Anyway, today I'd like to first off start by recounting the story of Noah, and that's back in Genesis 6, 7, 8, around there for your notes and for your later reading pleasure. But more specifically, I'd like to talk about the flood and some of the events going up and preceding the flood. In that time and in that day, there was a reason that God decided to do what he did. And it was because the people had evil continually in their hearts. They were going after their own ways, pursuing their own lust, and it just came to the point where God said, enough is enough. But there was one exception, of course, and that was Noah. Noah was a man of righteousness. He was a man, as again these chapters will attest to, and it says several times throughout these chapters, that he obeyed God. He followed the commands of God. And for that reason, God set him apart. God had a special mission for him. Now, not only did Noah follow the commands of God, follow that path, that way of life, but he also followed the other commands that God gave him too, outside of what we know to be the rules and regulations of God, as it were. But God said, okay, Noah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. So God then gave him the instructions of how to build the ark out of gopher wood and how to put the all the sealants on it and everything as well. And Noah had to follow those instructions. Then Noah had to follow all the other instructions that God gave in terms of how to get the animals and how to, again, a lot of stuff that probably is, or definitely not given to us to show, but would have been necessary for Noah so that he could actually complete this event successfully. And then as a final command that he gave to God, gave to Noah, and again, we should probably treat God's suggestions as commands, but he said, Noah, go into the ark. And again, this is in Genesis, a scripture. He says, go into the ark and shut it up. Again, had he not done that one command, what would have happened? Because the flood was coming, whether everybody else knew it or not. So he took that command and he went in. So because Noah gave or followed God's commands, all of them, plus these other ones we just went through, Noah had a place of safety. He had a place of safety for them impending doom and disaster that was coming on the world. Because after he went in there, as we all know and how the story goes, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights to where it covered up everything in the earth. And the result, the result of obeying God then was that he and his family, those who were under his his overseeing, it was his family, they were all saved on the ark, as well as the animals. And again, that's somewhat key in that when we look back at the story of who died, it was every animal that died, all the birds, and again, all the other animals, the land animals, all died, as well as all of mankind. So mankind, then the result of them not obeying God, was death. So it's a fairly simple, straightforward story that we're all quite familiar with. Now, I'd like to talk about a parallel account to the story of Noah. The parallel account, again, your mind might be racing at the moment trying to figure out where the parallel account of the story to Noah is. Well, the parallel account to the story of Noah is today. It's being written today. We look at the world today. And again, Matthew 24 talks about a time today that is going to be similar to the time as it was in the days of Noah. Again, that's in Matthew 24, and I believe verses 37, 38, 39, around there. It says that in the days that we're going to be preceding the return of Christ, there is going to be just like it was in the day of Noah, where everybody was given in marriage and they were doing all the normal things, that quote-unquote normal things, that go on in the world. And again, I think what we can also look at in that scripture too is all the other things that humans will do whenever they leave God, whenever they refuse to obey God. And again, we see that going on now. And again, in 2 Timothy 3, it talks about all these end-time attitudes. And if we look at the world as it is right now, we see those attitudes. We see that it is indeed like the times as it was in the days of Noah. So we have the parallel of the people. They are like it was in the day of Noah. Now, the other parallel then is, what about the place of safety for the righteous? Well, there will be a place of safety for the righteous. And it talks about that in Revelation 12. In Revelation 12, it talks about the woman on wings of an eagle, as it were, being taken to a place of safety. So again, we see that there is going to be, in the days preceding the end time, and again, when we talk about the end time, we talk about the way that the world is going to end, and we know that these things are going to happen. We just don't know exactly when. So what we have, though, is that a promise of a place of safety for the righteous. And as it goes on there in the scriptures there in Revelation 12, it also says that Satan, the devil, then sent a flood after these people, after the woman, as it called, the church. So again, it's interesting the terminology that's used there in the Bible, that it said that Satan sent a flood. Now, it's our understanding that that's an army that he's going to send after. But again, it's interesting that it was a flood that was sent. So this flood is sent, but then the earth swallows it up, and it does not affect the righteous as they're going to the place of safety. But as it swallowed up, Satan then turns his eyes and his attention to what it calls the offspring of the woman. The offspring of the woman are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're not talking about just your everyday average type person who may be an atheist or who may be an agnostic who has nothing to do with God. These are people who have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is who Satan goes to make war with. And again, who is that? Again, we have to assume that it is church members and that they're probably just a different era. And again, we describe eras as attitudes. And we look at the people like the Laodiceans. And the Bible also talks about the Sardis era and the Thyatira being around to some degree during this end time. So there will be other Church of God's eras, groups around at this time. And that is who Satan will go to make war with during the Great Tribulation. So the result then of being righteous, all right, and the result of being disobedient is the same as it was in those days. Because we look back now at the righteousness of these people who are going to the place of safety. Again, they're commandment keepers. They keep the Sabbath and the holy days. But there's going to be some excuse me. There's going to be some other commands that are going to have to come down the pike at the very end as well. Sorry, got a little tickle. So, at the very end, there's going to be a command to flee. There's going to be directions in terms of which way we're going to go. And it's going to be issued by the ministry, the church, or even, you know, maybe a specific minister. It is those commands that will have to be followed as well. Now, these commands are not in the Bible just as of yet that we understand in terms of when and where we're to go. We're assuming that that's going to be revealed to us in some way, shape, or form. But when that command comes down from God to us, to whoever hopes to be in the place of safety, and again, I'm assuming that everybody hopes to be in the place of safety. We all know what's going to happen otherwise. We may assume that we're not going to be in the place of safety for one reason or the other, but I'm sure that we all hope to be in the place of safety. So when it comes down to this command that is going to be issued by a righteous minister, that it's going to be time to go, it's going to be time to flee, it's going to be time to shut the door to the ark, those commands have to be followed as well. And if those commands are not followed, there's a very good chance then that you won't be in the place of safety. And again, I'm just trying to fill in some parts here in terms of that we, and just make the point that we need to be obeying all the commands of God. So the result then of obedience will be safety, and the result of disobedience or to be found wanting by God, that he has found it necessary that you not be in the place of safety, will more than likely be death during the great tribulation. If not, it's going to be at the very least a very, very hard and difficult time. So we see the parallels now between the time of Noah and the time of today, and some of the crucial aspects of actually making it to the place of safety. And so now I want to just switch gears to last week. Last week during the announcements, an announcement was made by Mr. Norbert Link. It was made in an unassuming manner, a quiet tone. It didn't have his usual, you know, loud oomph to it a lot of times when he wants to get emphatic. It didn't have a lot of backup information. All he said was, the time is now to become serious. After hearing him talk about, say that, just say that, and the way he said it, and just, again, the significance of it and the timing of it, it compelled me to speak about this today. I was moved to the point where I felt it necessary, that I felt that I had to speak about this subject today because of the impact of just those few words that they had on me. And when I looked at it and looked at it in context, and I'm going and supposing certain things, I looked at it and I said, could this be our last warning? As a child, we will often push our parents, and they'll give us a warning, and then they'll give us another warning. And then, do we heed that is the question, or are we banking on getting another warning before we get any discipline? And again, the smart child would heed the warning, especially if you knew it was the last warning. Of course you would heed it. But brethren, we have been given warnings for a long time. For a long time. Mr. Armstrong started out many decades ago talking about the specific things that are happening today. As we lived through those years, we kept our eyes open to those things that were happening, wondering if this one event had the significance, because we knew that we were supposed to watch and pray always about these things that would come to pass. But again, and when we start talking about 70 years, it's a long time. And you have to just keep it up and keep your awareness up and stay on edge and these things. And throughout all those years, we kept wondering and wondering, is this it? Is this one of the things that's going to lead to what prophecy says is going to happen? Brethren, now we're starting to see a lot of these things happen. Before, maybe we saw something, maybe we didn't, maybe we were kind of hoping, but now there seems to be no doubt that the things that the Bible said prophesied will come to pass, are happening now. And it's not like they're happening here and there. If you're reading the update, you're seeing these things. You're seeing the economic collapse of America. You're seeing a budget that's going out of control. The Dow Jones is dropping dramatically. It's already dropped 25% this year and over 50% from its highs of last year. It's going down the tubes. We look over at Europe. It's starting to flex its power. Things are starting to shift around now to make it necessary that they have a group of 10 nations or groups of nations so that they can control, because they're becoming unwieldy. They're trying to figure out what they're doing in this global morass that we're in. Look at the Middle East. Again, turmoil. They've had a war recently. There's harbingers of doom on the horizon for these guys, for Israel, and all their surrounding countries. What else? What else is going on a daily basis? We look around and we see these attitudes, these end-time attitudes that have been talked about. And they're here. All these things are here. Brethren, look at what, I mean, put yourself in the place of Noah back then. Again, the ark was a witness at that point. You have this big boat in the middle of dry land. All right? And it's a big boat. And there's some speculation that it actually never rained before the flood. And so this makes it even, you know, much more of a conundrum for the people around. And yet, Noah also, you know, it talks about in 2 Peter that he was a preacher of righteousness. So here you had a boat in the middle of big dry ground, and then you have Noah, who was a preacher, telling these people, no doubt, what was going to happen. And I'm sure that they were subject, that he was subject to all kinds of ridicule. But it's interesting, nobody actually had the thought to actually make a grappling hook. You know, it's like, they didn't think this was going to happen. How hard would it be to make a grappling hook and throw it over the top and climb up? Nobody even had that thought, or so it seems. I'm sure God would have prevented them somewhere or the other. But it's just an interesting thought that Noah was preaching all this stuff and the people did not listen. They did not hear. They refused to hear. They would rather be in their own disobedience. And the result was what it was. It was a flood on all of mankind, save the 8 souls on the ark. Today, brethren, we are trying to get out the same exact message to the world and to the flock. That's our commission. Preach the gospel, feed the flock. The time is now to become serious. And this could be our last warning.